My friends, this year, our annual Unitarian Universalist General Assembly took place entirely online in late June. More than 3,400 Unitarian Universalists came together to explore our faith's underpinnings, take consequential votes, and be in community with one another. Do you need me to unmute my laptop, or we're okay? Because I keep getting notifications saying, okay, hopefully we're okay. As most of you know, our faith is non-creedal and ever evolving. That's one of the things that makes it so unique. Revelation is not sealed. Our understanding of theology and life evolve with the times and with what's needed from us as a faith tradition. The Unitarian Universalist Association bylaws require us to review who we are as a faith every 15 years or so. Well, it had been almost 40 years since our seven principles had been adopted, and they have been deeply inspiring to many of us. But our UUA board called us to revise them with what's needed in these times, through a process that took place over the last 4 years. And this request led to the formation of a study commission with thousands of people weighing in, endless conversations, and numerous debates, because we love to debate as Unitarian Universalists. Eventually, the new articulation of our faith with values and covenants was adopted by 80% of the delegates present this year. Our faith's newly articulated values, which you will have seen in your order of service, in no particular order, include justice, transformation, pluralism, equity, interdependence, and generosity, all centered around love. Now, some of you may remember that I preached on every single one of these values over this past year. If you'd like to hear those sermons, you can go back and listen to them online. In the new book, Love at the Center, it says, a common question that UUs often face is how we can be a religion if we do not lay claim to one clearly delineated theological truth. It's a good question. The answer is love. Our inherited theological tradition places its faith in love. And given everything that our world faces today, having faith in love is no small thing, my friends, is it? No. I highly recommend this book that's just hot off the press. Well, it's not even off the press. It's just on Kindle right now, and it'll be updated in September. But it makes for great daily spiritual reflection, reading one of the 26 short essays on love a day. And it gives us a deeper understanding of how love guides our faith in so many different ways. Now, Reverend Sunshine Wolf, whose name I love, who is our new UUA Western Regional Lead, insists that the decisions at General Assembly this year only bring changes to your congregation if you want them to. We're an association of independent congregations. And the votes in this session only apply to the UUA, with an encouragement to congregations to consider implementing them. And some will and some won't, and that's okay. So Reverend Sunshine encourages each congregation to do what is meaningful to them. And they write, it is one of the strengths of our religious community that we do not require members and congregations to agree with everything. When many religious communities require absolute agreement with codes and creeds, we do not. So whether you take on Article 2 or not, the UUA will support you. And I thought that was wonderful of them to share that. So my friends, we have choices at Chalice to live our Unitarian Universalist faith in the way that we decide as a congregation. And I know we've been in conversation for a few years now about this, and we will continue to be in dialogue about what matters to us as a community. And I encourage us all to stay engaged with us in this discernment. Our upcoming leadership retreat, in fact, at the end of August, will explore exactly those questions. Who are we? And what is ours to do next as a community in the Conejo Valley? Meanwhile, Chalice remains the beautiful, loving fellowship that you know and love. We will grow and transform together, exploring what is meaningful to us as a community, hearing everyone's voice. Everyone here matters and is loved. So now I want to hand over to Randall, who's going to share some more thoughts about important discussions that took place at General Assembly, and then I will share a few more words. Thank you, Randall.
When Reverend Nika said that there would be a Sunday service about this year's UUA General Assembly, I volunteered to help. I'll be sharing with you about the actions of immediate witness and the responsive resolution which were voted on at GA. What's an action of immediate witness, you ask? Me too. An action of immediate witness, or AIW, is a statement about a significant action, event, or development in the world that necessitates immediate engagement and action among UU member congregations and groups, reads the UUA website. AIWs need to pertain to a current issue that requires immediate action, be grounded in UU theology and practice, and present an opportunity for member congregations to act in solidarity with marginalized groups. I reached out for information about just how member congregations were expected to respond to AIWs and got this from the UUA Social Witness Committee. The bylaws for the UUA don't give guidelines or directions for how a congregation responds or engages with AIWs. It's something that each congregation determines for themselves. And in my 19 years at Chalice, I couldn't recall ever hearing about an AIW or what we were doing here in response. So I asked around. I got a story from Gordon Clint about one. The 2010 AIW oppose anti-immigrant measures and the 2012 Justice GA, which focused on immigration as a moral issue and included a candlelight vigil outside Sheriff Arpaio's immigrant detention camp in Phoenix, Arizona, evolved into a number of efforts and actions here. Those included collaboration with an immigration attorney working to allow visitations to Adelanto Detention Facility, which eventually led to our detention witness program. Within 2 years, Chalice members and volunteers from CLU VC had visited 74 different detainees from 22 different countries. And that's not counting the letters and all the things that have happened since. As I looked over the list of previous AIWs passed at GAs, I could see there'd been quite a lot of work here at Chalice, whether we knew about it or not, that perhaps inspired or emboldened or energized by our Unitarian Universalist Association Action of Immediate Witness. So the first proposed action of immediate witness presented for consideration this year was centering love amidst the ongoing impact of COVID-19. Citing that the COVID-19 emergency declaration was terminated in 2023 without sufficient strategies in place to manage the persistent challenges of the virus, this AIW called for a number of things. These included to communally examine the impact of the pandemic on our own communities, recommit to making our spaces accessible to those who are at higher risk, and to partner with local organizations working on COVID-19 justice. There are many more specifics. You can read the whole text of all these AIWs in the link in News and Notes. This AIW passed with 86.1% voting to affirm. The second proposed AIW was World on Fire, Humanitarian Work and Climate Change. It asked for this GA to call on the president to invoke the Stafford Act and the National Emergencies Act to recognize that a public health emergency now exists in the United States caused by climate change. The AIW asked that your youth listen to the oppressed and respond in appropriate ways, lifting up in particular the unhoused, the very old and the very young, and working people, among others, asking us to listen to where we might identify community needs and opportunities for cooperation. This AIW passed with 95.6% voting to affirm. The third proposed AIW discussed was titled Solidarity with Palestinians. The beginning reads, "Our Unitarian Universalist faith draws on the moral imperative of radical love, and despite all odds, calls on us to uphold a world where liberation is real and we all thrive." The AIW went on to recognize the horrors of violent anti-Semitism against generations of Jewish people, reaffirm commitment to their safety, and decry the violence of October 7th. The AIW recounted past UUA calls for peace, ending the occupation of Palestinian lands, and declaring that criticism of the policies of the Israeli government should not be equated with or confused with anti-Semitism. This AIW asked UU congregations and communities to be in solidarity with Palestinians by engaging in witnessing, educating, organizing, and advocating. Suggestions included calling for an immediate ceasefire, holding teach-ins about Palestine and Israel, ending military aid to Israel until it ceases policies and practices of apartheid, and opposing policies restricting the First Amendment rights of peaceful protesters. I think it's useful to let you know about the responsive resolution that was examined next, UUA GA support for October 7 hostages. This resolution referenced our UUA president's report reflecting on the horror and loss in the Middle East, which is amplifying growing anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in the U.S. and beyond. The resolution called for the immediate release of all Hamas-held hostages and for acknowledging the suffering of Jews within our association and beyond. There can be no peace and no justice unless it is for all people, the resolution ends. Both of these passed. A solidarity with Palestinians, AIW passed with 73.5% voting to affirm, and the support for October 7 hostages responsive resolution passed with 77%. It's been a quest of mine in my life to work for staying in relationship, continuing the conversation when possible, and holding space for our interconnectedness in the midst of difference. The situation in the Middle East is heartbreaking, complicated, and seems to be getting worse every day. And I confess that I was concerned that to support this AIW might alienate some. But I've been reading and rereading it, and I think there's much we can agree on. Conversations we can have and things we can do, ways we can support justice for all people. I encourage everyone to read the AIWs and see what inspires or emboldens you. Perhaps you know a group needing greater support as organizations have sought to return to a pre-pandemic normal. Maybe you care about climate change and you want to help get involved with our climate justice revival to be held here in January. Or possibly you have ideas about how we can come together in our concerns around the Middle East. Let us know. Reach out. You can always email justiceleaders@chaliceuu.org. At the first business meeting of this year's GA, the Reverend Meg Riley opened with this. "Some people say that our faith is an easy one. You can do or believe anything you want. I respectfully disagree. This is a hard faith. Living in a pluralistic community faithfully is far from easy," she said. "We arrive here with different ideas and experiences about what is best for our faith, what it means to be Unitarian Universalists. staying connected to one another, even as we disagree, listening to one another, even when we're uncomfortable, speaking respectfully to one another as our free and responsible searches for truth take us in different directions. That's not easy. May we be energized, emboldened, and inspired to do just that.
Thank you for your powerful words, Randall, and for all the amazing work you do on behalf of justice and love. Did you see her t-shirt? Randall's an embodiment of being love. Thank you. So in 2011, when I began seminary at Starr King School for the Ministry, I attended my first national gathering of Unitarian Universalist ministers. To say that I was intimidated would be an understatement. One minister after the next spoke eloquently about our faith and what was important, and I was really impressed by the depth of their theology and their articulation of what was emerging in our faith. But I also felt that something was missing, an overarching, clearly understandable summary of what our faith was all about. I was struck that whether they were talking about accessibility or anti-racism or gender equality or LGBTQ+ issues, a widening theology, or simply becoming more welcoming, everything they discussed seemed to have something to do with becoming more loving and inclusive. So I remember turning to my professor, Reverend Dr. Michelle Favreau, and whispering, "Isn't it really all about love?" Now, Michelle was a teacher who loved to push her students out of the nest to learn to fly. So she insisted that I stand up in front of all of these hundreds of seasoned UU ministers and share my thoughts. Now, I was a lot less confident in those days and resisted and said, "No way." But she kept insisting. And eventually, she just literally grabbed my hand and held it up for me. So I was forced to stand up and sheepishly speak into the microphone, asking the conference hall of assembled ministers, "Isn't everything you're talking about really about love?" And I remember a deadly silence after I spoke. And in those days, love wasn't a word we used in our faith. It seemed too sentimental, too wishy-washy, too squishy, or too indefinable. And it also didn't appear in our seven principles. So I was worried that I'd really gotten it wrong. Nobody responded, and the assembly continued, ignoring what I'd said, and I felt so foolish and embarrassed that I slunk back into my chair, waiting for the ground to swallow me up, feeling like the neophyte student that I was. Not the case today, is it? Over the years, as I learned more and more about Unitarian Universalism and observed everything that we strive to become as a faith, I realized it really is all about love. Isn't it? And that's what we voted on this year at our General Assembly, to claim love at the center of our faith. Not a sentimental or romantic love, but love in action. A fierce, committed love that calls us to create a better world, to take care of one another, our community, and the planet. A love that holds us accountable to be the best, most compassionate version of ourselves. A love that inspires us in our everyday actions. A love that calls us to be kind, inclusive, open-minded, and generous of spirit, a love that asks us to listen with respect, to seek understanding across difference, a love that asks us to look with the eyes of care and generosity rather than judgment, a love that calls us to seek unity and interdependence rather than focus on separation and difference. A love that works for justice and equity for all, rather than letting those who are unlike us or marginalized by society suffer. A pluralistic love that embraces many different expressions of spirituality, of life, and of culture. A love that calls us to continually evolve and transform into the best versions of ourselves. A love that holds us, as we just sang, and lives at the center of each one of us. My friends, at our core, I believe we are love. We are born as love. As the great poet Rumi said, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Our purpose in life is to remove the barriers that we have erected so that we can be the love that we already are. The barriers that cause us to constrict, to feel less than, to feel hard-hearted. The barriers that make us unkind, that make us cruel, and that have us feel unloved. And all the world's religions call us to love. Jesus spent most of his time teaching about love of neighbor and love through our actions. And the Buddha taught love through practicing meditation and compassion and non-attachment, helping us remove the veils of illusion and separation that keep us from love. And the Prophet Muhammad taught love through acts of justice, kindness, and serving those in need. And of course, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King advocated continuously for love, particularly through nonviolent resistance. All these teachers and so many more call us to embody the love that already resides within us. And so, as Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt asked us in the welcoming words I shared earlier, we may agree that love is central, but what does that mean to us? And what does it require of us? And that, my friends, is what we are going to continue exploring as individuals and as a community in the coming days, months, and years. How do we put love at the center of everything we do and say? How would love invite us to be of service to the world? What would love have us do in this moment and the next and during this election season? How would love ask us to be individually and collectively? Can we make every decision based in love? Can we let love guide us, as we sang earlier? Can we allow love to be our inspiration? I've begun a simple daily practice inspired by the writer Elizabeth Gilbert. She suggests journaling in the mornings, asking love, what would you have me know today? And then I listen and write. And often I receive profound guidance from that question. It seems to tap into the deepest, most whole and loving part of me that knows what it means to live from love. We are love at our core, my friends, and love asked me to share that with you today. I invite you to try it. And if love doesn't resonate, if that word doesn't resonate, find a word that does. A word that taps into your highest inner guidance and ask it what it requires of you to be the most whole, loving, good human being you can be in this day. My friends, may we listen to love and seek always to unblock it in ourselves. In a world rife with so much hate, may we ever transform into a beacon of love, as I asked us to do last week. It is needed now more than ever. And may we explore individually and collectively how we answer the call of love. May it be so.